everybody. Thanks for tuning in to episode 218 of The Overseas Connection, the official podcast of the G4TE.com community. That is Gaming for the Elderly. And today is May 7th, 2013. I am Greg DeLacy, one of your hosts. And joining us this week, Mr. Christopher Matthew.
I like your energy, Greg. You're fired up.
I am fired
up. I'm here.
Good. That is good. Hopefully you will be fueled by Redenbacher?
You know, it is actually Redenbacher. Amazing. It's like you have telepathy or something.
I am a psychic. That's what I do in my part-time job. Also joining us this week, Mr. Richard Primrose.
There's a vase in my cupboard. Hi, different room today. Different things around, so I'm sporting. Hello, everybody.
Hey, Rich. Hello, Rich. Before we go away from your intro, I've been meaning to ask this and I keep forgetting. You've used the word conservatory to describe your home many times, or describe a room in your home. What is a conservatory?
Wait, let me answer this. That is where the Colonel Mustard killed Scarlet with the wrench.
Wrong. Richard.
Damn it.
Do you know what? I ain't got a conservatory in my house.
Nevertheless, you have used the word. In fact, I will cite a specific example where you told Michelina that you would paint the conservatory while she was away, thus earning yourself brownie points.
Yeah, that was the old house.
That was the old house. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. It doesn't change the fact that you did use the word, and it does not negate the question. What is it?
It's basically it's a UPVC building that you just build on the side of your house. So it's like a sunroom, you know.
Okay.
It's sunny.
All right, sunroom.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah.
Are you envisioning like a telescope coming out of his house?
No, not an observatory, Greg.
My bad.
But when I hear the word conservatory, I didn't know if it was actually like maybe a greenhouse, like an indoor garden kind of thing.
Gotcha. I bet a observatory would be very unlikely.
My mother-in-law's conservatory is like an indoor garden because she grows lots of basil in it.
All right. Cool. All
right. Moving on. Mike.
I'm left.
Chin. Mike Chin, you are also here.
I am here. Hello.
Just in the background, just hanging out quietly, which is a first.
Yeah. Stu also has a conservatory, which is maybe where you got it from.
Nobody has an observatory.
I do.
I have one at work. Does that count?
No. Well, yeah. Do you have keys to it? Can you just go in whenever you want?
Actually, yes and yes.
Okay, then yes, you
That's pretty impressive.
Can you spy on naked ladies with it?
No.
Oh, damn.
The government would frown upon that.
Hmm.
But could you if you wanted to? I mean, you might get in trouble for it, but could you?
No, the telescope, it is actually like one of those giant, like the roof opens up telescopes.
Sick.
So it only kind of points up.
But gotcha. If there was a naked astronaut in space, you might see them.
If there was a naked astronaut in space, they would be dead and shriveled, and I would not wish to spy upon them.
Well, I don't know. I'd be pretty curious.
I don't know, I just have this mental image in my head now of the observatory like rotating and the whole telescope coming down and like pointing at somebody's window.
Somebody just lying on the beach.
I'm just thinking of Ripley trying to get into the astronaut suit with her knickers on.
See, I'm not a big Sigourney Weaver. Like, it just didn't do it for me.
She was all right with that tight perm at the beginning. Yeah.
I suppose. All right, well... Let's
thanks,
move
everyone.
On.
Yes, see you later.
Now that we've gone down that road, I think we should talk about video games because I think that's probably what most people want to hear about. So let's talk about video games. I suppose we can start with Mr. Matthew.
Well, I'm going to mention my usual suspects, Far Cry 3 and Skyrim. And then I'm going to stop because I believe we're all going to speak about Fuse together. So...
this is true.
I'm going to stop there.
I guess the question now, Mike, since you were the other person that played the Fuse demo with Chris and I, should we get into Fuse now or should we save that?
I'll say we do it.
All right. Okay, let's jump into
it. All right, we're doing it right now.
Do it on the Fuse demo. Yes, Rich.
Get on with it. Let's do this.
My bad.
Okay. I want to pick your brains because I like looking at this game.
Yeah, so this was a game that, I mean, just kind of going back a little ways, a lot of people were calling it very generic looking. A lot of people were pretty down on Fuse. I think that's pretty safe to say. They were excited that Insomniac was making a multi-platform game, at least Xbox owners were, but I think across the board, everybody was kind of like, they got away from the cartoony characters. It seemed it lost its character, and I mean, the vast majority of at least internet chatter I've seen on Fuse was, oh, it's just going to be another generic shooter.
Yeah, that's what I heard as well, pretty much. Like, it looks so bland.
Initial impressions off the demo, just your quick first take impression, Mike.
Well, I was kind of, I mean, it still looked pretty bland to me when I went in, but as soon as you start kind of playing around, the first thing that hits you is that you have to do a bit of climbing, and it's like Uncharted but co-op.
Yes.
And I was like, okay, well, the first thing I said to you, Greg, was, well, this is different.
Yeah.
and then it kind of turned into like an Uncharted. It's like Uncharted meets Gears of War meets Borderlands 2 stuff.
I thought it was a bit Vanquish, yeah. Is it? Vanquish?
I thought Vanquish, I always think of like kind of sliding around on your knees and crazy boss fights, whereas, well, we haven't seen those yet, but we have come across a couple of mechs, but, I Gears of War cover system, but slightly different, where you use B for the cover instead of A, which means if you hold A down, you can run over things, jump over things, and it kind of makes a little bit more sense to me.
It did kind of mess me up though, because I tried several times to go into cover using the Gears of War mash A to get to cover and ended up jumping over the cover and getting shot.
Yeah. I mean, there's a bit of a learning curve, I think, with it. But look, I don't know. When I was getting into it, I felt like it made more sense than using A for everything.
Okay. Chris, let's get your first initial reaction, then we'll dive deeper into the actual game.
My initial impression was that all of the people who said it was kind of bland and generic were correct.
Okay. I guess to echo that sentiment, I suppose when we first were watching it, they had that opening cutscene. It kind of shows the team of four going on this gondola, and it does have a very kind of generic look to it. And I shouldn't say generic because I think that's doing a little bit of a disservice. I mean, graphically it looks pretty good, but there's nothing about it that's unique looking. I mean, it looks like every other military shooter out there. I mean, if you put the different character models into, say, an Army of Two skin, it would be kind of look an Army of Two. I don't think there was anything that really made it jump out, but as soon as I started to play with the weapons, it immediately changed into something very different and unique. And I started off with the character Dalton the first time I played it, which I believe, Chris, you also were playing as Dalton. He's the guy with the shield.
Yeah, when we went through the second time, I was playing as Dalton. And I will say I did like that the weapons had some different feel to them. I was a little disappointed, though, in that it felt like Dalton, who looked and was equipped, in my opinion, as the heavy, with the shield and kind of the big guy, I didn't feel like I could do a lot of damage. I had that shield, and that seemed to be pretty effective, but the other weapons that he had seemed to be pretty ineffective.
Yeah, so, and again, this is something I'm not completely sure on, but I know there's a lot of customization to the characters that you can outfit them with different weapons, I believe. I don't know if that's just the special weapon for the purpose of the demo. They don't really get into that. But there's a lot – there's a whole skill tree for these guys that you can upgrade a lot of different perks in behind the scenes kind of as you level up. So I'm imagining some of that certainly could be going towards weapon damage and certainly make his character a little more effective. I found all the weapons to be unique, and one thing I loved was the sound, especially the sound on the pistol. It had this just great thump to it.
I didn't really listen to them too much.
No, yeah, I was I had my headphones on, so I was tuned into the sound pretty well, and was quite impressed. But I think more than anything, it was the variety of the weapons really was unique in that they were weapons you just don't see. Especially, I think Dalton's weapon probably was the one that really stood out in my mind. This big shield that he, you know, it's like energy shield that he can.
Is that that liquid looking thing?
Yes. Yeah. So he basically can, you know, you I think it's you pull the left trigger when you have it equipped, and it basically folds out, and he can walk with it. But you can also use the right bumper and basically plant it as a shield in the ground that you can move away from, and others can use as cover. And again, going back to the sounds, bullets coming in and hitting against the shield just sounds just great. You feel like, no, you are just a badass blocking everything for your team. And the other cool aspect of the game is that when you use a special power in combination with somebody else either shooting through it or using their special power, when you use your special power, you get bonus perks. I want to say one of the female characters had a weapon that would, in a sense, kind of freeze up characters.
Was that the one I had?
I think so. But it was like, it was almost, maybe it turned to like a black charcoal or something.
Yeah. It was weird. But it was good, though.
Yeah.
And the other woman's weapon as well, like, you shoot at someone and it causes like a kind of twister or a tornado effect around that area where the enemy is. And I thought that was pretty cool.
And this is all pretty, I mean, this is what Insomniac does. They create unique weapons in their games. They're known for it. And, I was pretty surprised at how much they nailed it and how excited I was playing the game. I was really enjoying myself playing with you guys. Mm. I don't know if that's because we were playing co-op together, or, you know, is it this game really is good?
It's just to say, really. I mean, it definitely was more fun co-op.
I haven't tried it playing single player yet, so. Yeah. And from what I could tell, no multiplayer. Sorry, Chris, go ahead.
I was liking the co-op nature of it. I did see the potential in having the different character classes kind of working together. You know, there was a bit of frustration at the end, and Jenny kind of heard me harping at him. I was trying to get to the front so I could use that shield thing, and Jenny's kind of running ahead. So there is definitely, a need to work together. But I don't know. I felt like that was kind of already
done. Together,
right?
Man.
Like I said in the game, I was like, I'm a busy man. I don't have time to be like...
It's just a demo. We were just trying to kind of blast through it, and that's fine.
No, I'm just being a douche. I was just trying to run ahead and being an idiot.
But my point being, I didn't feel like that's really... And not every game has to be unique and change the game, but it does have to do something to set itself out from the pack.
Right.
And I don't feel like it did anything like that.
Okay. So that's an interesting thing. I was actually kind of where I was going to go to next on this. I've been kind of in my personal belief is this demo had to really wow some people because of all of the kind of pre-press, if you will, leading up to it being, you know, it's just generic, blah, 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 that it needs to win people over with this demo for this game to get some good sales in. I don't know if it's done enough to really win over the masses, but I can say this for myself. I was really surprised how much I enjoyed it, and it's really given me kind of pause to think about potentially picking this game up now.
I don't know about picking it up, but like I knew this game was coming out. I heard pretty much everything about it, but I just didn't really care about it. But now, you know, I'm definitely more interested. The demo has done it more favors than nothing. So yeah, I like it. I was into it, and I like some of the kind of camera stuff that it did. You know, in Uncharted, like you go into a new area and the camera would pan, and it did a little bit of that as well. When you climb up a ladder onto the roof, the camera would be in a set position and then kind of go back onto your character. And I don't know, it was interesting. It just seems to kind of take a little leaf from a lot of different games and do it well.
Yeah, and, you know, although we didn't see a ton of story element to it, from what I can tell, it seems like it's pretty well voice acted. Nothing felt too campy or cheesy from what I could tell. And again, graphically, I really liked what they were doing. The enemies seem like they're pretty intelligent and certainly not a cakewalk from what we played, which that was on normal difficulty.
And it
so.
Swapped it up as well. Like one had a shield and I think was healing other enemies as well. And, right. You know, there's a few things going on there. And the mechs were cool. You know, we had two mechs on us and we had to – there's another little touch with the mechs where if you shoot the tank at the back, that was like their weak point. And the way you knew that you were shooting the tank was you'd have a different sound.
That I did not pick up on.
See, well,
interesting. Okay.
Yeah, I can't help it.
Look at you. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a different sound that it made when you contacted that tank. So it was like a little, yes, I'm hitting the right area type thing, which was cool. Nice little touches to it. It seems polished to me.
Yes.
Seems polished.
Well, gosh knows they've had enough time to add more polish to the game since they delayed it. I'll say this. I think anybody remotely interested in this game should absolutely be downloading that demo and checking it out.
If you've got a co-op buddy and you like playing co-op games,
yes,
then this is a definite pickup. But if you're like me, you just wasn't interested, didn't blip on your radar, give it a go, because I was pretty... I enjoyed it, and I, you're right, Greg. I don't know if that's because I played it with you and Shinyverse and Chris, but you know that definitely added something to it. But it was good.
I mean, I look at this game and I think about your buddy that you play Army of Two with, your co-op buddy.
Yeah, Marsh,
and I think you guys could have some fun with this.
Yeah, you know, and Army of Two isn't a great game by any means, but it's fun when you got your best mate with you, and it's just. You know, just messing about, you know. So like, it's the same with this. It's just fun when you play it with good people.
Yeah. So there you go. I think all of us.
I liked it.
Yeah.
I'm a bit more positive than Chris is, I think. But me and you, Greg, I seem to be kind of on the same page with.
Yeah.
But Chris is a hard man to please.
He is a hard man to please.
Not really.
No. All right. So, Mike, why don't we just continue on with you? What else have you played this week?
So I played Omerta, City of Gangsters.
Yes.
Did you buy this, Mike, or did you play the demo?
I did not buy this. Okay. I got it rented from a rental service.
Hmm.
Well,
this is on the console.
This is on the console. It's the makers from Tropico 3 and 4. It's a strategy game where you have to city build, but also with this one you have turn-based combat to take over like banks, raid, breweries, so I couldn't speak, and other such things. So there's a bit of kind of turn-based combat in there, and I haven't played XCOM, but I'm sure if you guys even had a touch of this, you'd be like, this sucks. Like, what is this?
Because, I played the demo of this.
I played the demo as well.
That was my impression.
Yeah, and I mean, I gave this game a fair shake because a friend of mine who works at Void Games, check out the game called Guess the Game on the App Store. A friend of mine, Chris, loves Tropico, and he loves, well, he, to be fair to him, he did say, like, Omerta isn't their best game, but he loves Tropico. And he says, he got some enjoyment out of this, so I thought I'll play it.
Has he played XCOM yet?
Yes, he has, and he loves it. He loves it.
Okay.
He does love
that. You should play XCOM.
So I played it, and I thought, I'll give it a chance, and I gave it 4 hours.
That's like 3 hours too many, Mike.
But that's a fair shake, isn't it? If you're not enjoying
that is
a game,
beyond a fair shake. I would actually say, if you don't enjoy a game within the first hour of playing it, I don't necessarily know that it deserves any more of a shake. I don't believe.
I feel like there could be like examples where, like, so again, like Civilization, what Duke was talking about. You know, Dark Souls. I think there's some games that kind of. I think 4 hours, though, regardless of what how many hours, I think 4 hours probably is enough for what this is. And
I think 4 hours is more than enough. And maybe this can be a debate for a future podcast.
I'll
but
tell
you know.
What. Yeah, so
I think it's going to change for every individual. When I was in grad school and I had lots of time for gaming, I would give a game a good 2-3 hours. Now, I'll play for 30 minutes, and if it hasn't grabbed my attention, I'm done.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. I played for 4 hours, and it was boring. There was one bit where it wanted me to get four grand of dirty money, and I couldn't get it, and I wasn't really being clear, and it was just boring. Like, the overall kind of what I took away from this was it's a bit boring. It's not that it's terrible, and I've said this before as well. I feel like there's a good game in there somewhere, like a strategy game set in the mafia world. I'm really into kind of like mafia genre, and I like that stuff. So I feel like there is a game there, and I like Theme Hospital, and I like Sim Builders and stuff. But they're just, this isn't it, unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean, as I recall my time with Immerta, it was kind of a couple things. One, the combat did not feel evolved like XCOM has. It felt very dated to maybe more like the original XCOM.
My childhood.
Sorry. But also a lot of the menus and the way it interfaced felt like it was, you know, again, this was a game developed for PC and ported over to the Xbox 360, and it felt like they didn't really spend much time on the UI to make it really user-friendly to the console market. It's completely a game that I could only really see playing on a PC if I was going to try and give it a serious go.
Yeah.
But
so
I will tell you, Greg, that I played it on a PC. If you build a PC for playing this game, you have wasted a substantial amount of money.
Fair enough.
The game sucks.
Anything else? anything else. The game sucks.
The game sucks. I've also been playing Batman Arkham City, finally.
Huh? And?
It's good, obviously. It's very good. I'm reaching a point in the game where I'm like stuff is happening and it feels different. What I will say about it is I don't think I'm enjoying it as much as the first one, just because I liked the open worldness of this one feels a bit more dense because I'm in the city.
Right.
And I know it's Arkham City, not Gotham City, but, you know, it's like a sectioned off part of Gotham. But it still feels really dense, and it feels a bit more confusing going from one place to the other and traversing like across the map and stuff. So I felt like Arkham Asylum was nice because it was quite open plan, and I liked being in that confined space. It made more sense, you know, that there wasn't people around. Like, they have to justify why people aren't running around the streets, and the way they do it in here is it's Arkham City, so it's still part of the asylum. But in the new one as well, apparently it's going to be Christmas Eve. And I heard them say that people aren't in the streets because it's Christmas Eve. So they have to keep coming up with ways for this city not to be filled up. But in Asylum, it felt the most natural. And to go from place to place felt natural as well. Well, you know, but I'm nitpicking, really. Like, this is still an awesome game. And I'm really enjoying it. So Batman is class. I don't have the Catwoman stuff because it was a used copy. So yeah, it's still pretty good, though. Damn good. Right. I like it.
Cool. Mr. Primrose, let's shift gears over to you.
Do you want to talk about Blood Dragon?
Well, I think we should talk about Blood Dragon.
Do tell.
Yes.
Blood Dragon.
So Far Cry 3, Blood Dragon, it is a standalone expansion of Far Cry 3. But it has nothing to do with Far Cry 3. And
you don't
basically
need a copy
just
of Far Cry 3.
Yeah, don't need a copy. It's only $15, I believe, off of PSN and Xbox Live.
Yep.
And I believe it's on PC too, correct?
It is $15 on Steam.
Okay.
Yeah. Did you buy it, Greg?
I have not yet.
No. Okay. I've probably put about an hour and a half into it now. Because something else distracted me, but yeah, I'm liking it. It's crazy, crazy retro stupidity, and it's good.
I mean, Rich, I'm going to keep interrupting you, and mm-hmm. it's just my job apparently.
Get over.
when I started playing this game, between the music and the voice acting and just the overall theme, I mean, it was kind of like, I mean, you instantly are thrown back to like Terminator movies. And really Terminator was the movie that kept coming to mind. I felt like I was playing as one of the Terminator bots, or maybe Universal Soldier, was another one of those kind of movies where you're half human, half robotic. And, you just kind of feel like a badass.
Yeah. Well, the Terminator thing as well. I mean, even down to the ambient noise when you're walking around is the Terminator.
Right. Right.
Even when you're just walking around all the time. So, the weapons, you get loaded out with weapons straight away from the off, so you're not empty-handed or anything. More or less, as soon as you pick up the first pistol, then it decks you out with a full quota. So you've got right. the shotgun out of Terminator 2. You've got right. you've got a pistol that's been ripped straight out of RoboCop.
Yes.
The plasma rifle, oh, I'm not too shit. Sure, but it's similar to some other stuff that we've seen in sci-fi. Things, and you get a rather nifty sniper rifle as well. So yeah, you get fully decked out with stuff from the off. And the good thing I like about it is I heard about the fact that you were playing it more or less the same way as you would do in Far Cry 3, but because they've reskinned everything, the idea of taking outposts is different to what you would be thinking in the normal jungle game, because these are all heavily elevated right, they, builds that have got various ways of accessing them. So it's not something you're normally creeping around the side. You've got different methods of actually taking the bases, because you can actually lure the blood dragons in to start attacking
right.
people are in there. So,
which are basically giant, they're not even lizards. I would call them giant dinosaurs with laser shooting eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you can stealth past them.
Grimlock.
they're color coded as well, so you always know if they're onto you, because the color of them changes. So yeah, it's really fun. From what I've seen at the start, it's really fun. I love the fact that all of the enemy AI have got cyborg voices.
Oh yeah, they sound like almost like the Cylons.
Yeah, and they do all of the banter like the other red vested dudes did in the main Far Cry 3. So. That's humorous as well in itself. And then you've got just all the dialogue with Michael Biehn when he's just running around. So it's just really great. I mean, the way that he takes the piss out of tutorials as well to start off with. I heard some reports of people saying that was too long and it dragged out for too long. I didn't think that. I thought they did a really good job of that.
I wasn't overly bothered by it.
No.
I will say, I listened to an interview with Michael Biehn and Major Nelson.
I heard it, yeah.
It disappointed me so much, because Michael Biehn does not sound like the sharpest of the tools.
And he knows fuck all about video games.
Exactly. So, if you want a good laugh, that is a podcast. Check out Major Nelson.
Yeah, I've got sons that play Call of Duty, and my other little son... he watches them playing Call of Duty, and then Larry Herb's like basically sidetracking right. him, saying, "Well, yeah, you know, they've got to be age appropriate." And he's like, "Oh yeah, they've got to be age appropriate."
Yeah, it was pretty comical to listen to it. So anyway, yeah. But yeah, I mean, they say it's about what 10 hours of gameplay, which I mean, if you're trying to speed through it, it's probably closer to six. But still, $15, you know. It's basically the price of a movie ticket, and it's entertaining as heck. About my only criticism is that I wish they toned down the neon just a little bit.
my only gripes with the I can't say that the setting is anywhere near as enjoyable as the jungle, because of the fact that you've got like. What you know, light expanses of land and so on. And like I say, right. I'm only about an hour and a half in. If it does change, then fair enough. But it does seem it's just like the gloomy horizon all the time. Everything's sort of grey. It seems like it's night time all the time. So it could do a bit of a day and night cycle on it as well.
Yeah, it definitely has kind of that. You know, I know they didn't need to do it, but you almost feel like they have fogged in the area to kind of eliminate the need to create long draw distances.
Yeah.
Maybe they did, but, like, it's a good workaround, though, right?
It is. It is.
It's a funny workaround.
I mean, overall, it's a good game, and I do plan on picking it up. I still have Dishonored to tap into, so I was kind of like, well, you know, as soon as I'm done with Dishonored, I'll tap into Blood Dragon and buy it. But I thoroughly enjoyed the demo. And if you like Far Cry 3, I don't see a reason why you probably
can't wait
shouldn't
to play it.
Check. Yeah. All right, Rich, let's talk about some of the other games.
Yeah, okay. The next one up is a little one that I heard on Weekend Confirmed, and it piqued my interest straight away. A couple of weeks ago, I was looking on my laptop, and I was actually on the point of just buying FTL because I really wanted to play that game. And Weekend Confirmed this week, they were just talking about at the end that there's an ISO game that's comparable called Star Command.
Yes.
So I bit the bullet on it, and I'm not disappointed at all.
Star Command.
This is a really
okay. Because I was interested in FTL. So
yeah,
it starts. Star Command has kind of a look similar to like game dev story.
Right.
Yeah, it's comparable to that sort of style. You know, the souped up 8-bit type graphics. So it's basically about managing a spaceship, and unlike FTL, it's got a storyline to it, and it's got quite a good storyline to it as well. Cheesy, a bit like the Blood Dragon type scenario, but yeah, good. It gives you some ups and downs. So basically, you're managing a ship. So it starts off, you've got color coded tokens that you've got to spend. So what you can do is you invest in different areas of the ship. So you might want to put your weapons in, your laser cannons, your photon torpedoes, and then you've got things like shield boosters or dodge compartments, which make your ship dodge when you've got an incoming missile, medical bays, so on and so forth. And then you start to staff out the place. And just like XCOM, it's got the wicked feature where you can rename everybody on the ship. So I've got a full deck of the OC podcast, basically, on my ship. And it's class-based as well. So you've got different classes for whoever's going to man the rooms. But the good thing is, whilst you're playing and managing that during, say, a battle, you can switch classes. So you could take somebody that was in the weapons bay and turn them into an engineer if they need to go around and fix anything that's been blown up. It throws different kinds of combat at you. So sometimes you might be getting invaded by an alien spaceship. And right early on in the game, I came across an old Russian spaceship from what was the past in their timeline. So it's something that's current in our day, like a space station.
Right, gotcha.
And basically, an alien race has gone in there and turned everybody into zombies, and they've been there for ages. And that zombie crew get teleported onto your ship, and you have to fend them off. So it just adds different aspects of you. So then you have to switch everybody over to the red security class, which is like the guys that man the guns, and they can use their phasers and start fending off the guys. And then you're running them back to the medical bay to heal them up and just rotating them around. And it's really fun. It's great. And it's got a good
little story. How much is it?
I think it was £2. It was £1.99.
Forget it.
But yeah, it's very entertaining. I'm enjoying
Excellent.
It thoroughly. And then
Star
finally,
Command, right? I'm gonna download that, Rich.
It's worth trying, and, definitely.
And it is coming to Android. It's not there yet. Android and PC.
I don't care
also.
About that.
Yeah, whatever. But it is coming to those platforms, I guess, in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, I think it's soon because when I read up on the dev site, there was talking about the Android version of it. So I think they're near completion on it, definitely. So the last game. Okay. So Veteran Gamers, I don't know if anybody's been listening, but they've started a new section.
No one
called
listens to that.
Nobody listens. Yeah.
They started a new section called Play My Game, Bitch. Yeah.
Play My Game, Bitch.
And I was interested because I always hear about Civilization, and it's the sort of thing I don't normally go for these city building games. I like me defense grids and stuff like that, a little bit of strategy, but I've never opted in for one of these. So I thought, I'm going to give it a go.
So their recommendation was Civ Revolution.
It was Civ 5, but obviously with Mike just having a console, they were saying you can try Civilization Revolution.
Revolution.
So I went on Xbox Live. And I got the demo, and the demo's separate from the full game, so I never knew what the price was. So I played the demo, and it just gives you a fair shake at it. So you do get your head around it. And I thought, this is it's quite enjoyable. This, yeah, I might try this out. So I went on the main game and I had to pop 20 quid for it, which I was a bit pissed about, but I wanted. I knew Mickey was. It was Bank Holiday weekend. I knew Mickey was on nights, so I thought, "Yeah, I'm going to pop for it. I'm going to have a go." So I got the game. Okay. So
now I would like to point out 20 quid for that game, even though it's an older game, it is worth the 20 quid.
Yeah, well,
I found that out later. So later that night, Mickey went out to work, and thereafter, I was basically teleported back to my youth on an Amiga 500. That's when your computer becomes a time machine. So, I started playing Civilization.
You mean you're back already?
Yeah. I started playing it 8 o'clock at night. I did a full campaign on the single player. And then I looked at, they've got the crew, you know, where they set a scenario and you just jump into that one. So I did the Huns one. So I took up the part of Genghis Khan. So I was, but I like the Mongols. I've followed them for quite a while historically, and I like reading about them and everything. So I thought I'm gonna do the Mongols, and I kept true to it as much as I could. But the way it works is technology advances as you're playing through. So obviously you can only stick with the horseback riders for so long, and then you have to move on up and change it up a bit.
Well, I would say technology advances as you advance the technology. I don't necessarily know that you have to advance it within your civilization.
Yeah, well, the bad guys will advance without you, though.
Yeah.
Oh, true. That's true. Fair enough.
So this was the second campaign. Now I got quite into this, and we don't have the curtains shut in our living room. Anyway, I come to an end of this campaign, and I'm just noticing out the corner of my eye that the sky's gone red.
And basically, it's either the end of the world or the beginning of the next day.
The sun was actually rising. So I'd actually played this game from 8 o'clock at night until 5 a.m. in the morning.
Jeez. So I figured you liked it.
Now, that, for me, at my age now, is unbelievable.
Genuinely go, what time did you think it was?
I thought it was probably about 2 or 3 o'clock. And gaming-wise, I don't mind going to bed at 3 o'clock, because you can still get about 5 or 6 hours of kit. So. But it was 5 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, my God.
Leave it. But yeah, excellent game. Really good game. And
bravo, Rich.
Yeah,
bravo.
Yeah, I was well impressed with it.
I played that one a few years ago, and I really, really enjoyed it. I thought, if I'm being honest, I thought that Civilization Revolution was actually more fun than Civilization V. But that'll probably get me chased out of the turn-based community.
Could be.
Can I ask a question about Civilization Five, as in the serious one, is the whole styling of that completely different then? Because this one's got you know, quite a cartoony look to it, SimCity type feel. So it is like more realistic. If it would be like Company of Heroes type look, you know, where it's like serious buildings.
Yeah, I mean the units look more series,
Monopoly.
The map is more detailed.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Civilization V is a wonderful game. Very deep. I have yet to finish a game on Civilization V. Whereas Civilization Revolution, I could sit down and play through a whole scenario.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very good. And I like the way that they set out them different scenarios as well. So I'm looking to go through them first. But yeah, it's good. There's a wide range of different, you know, different factions that you can choose. And I was quite impressed with that. Although it did seem a bit out of place that Gandhi had switched from democracy over to fundamentalism. It was a bit bizarre, but never mind. Yeah. But yeah, it's a great game. Enjoyed it.
Excellent.
Nice.
All right. Well, we pretty much have covered the games that I played. The only other game that I have been playing the hell out of, XCOM. I've just, like, engrossed myself. I started up a whole new campaign, basically got to a point that I knew I could not, I just could not advance in XCOM Original with the, oh God, I can't remember now the stupid mode, Iron Man. So I reset, started off again, and I'm having a much better go of it this go round in original or classic Iron Man XCOM. But it is still challenging. Still just absolutely loving that game. And I also got my multiplayer match in, which was an epic 35-turn match with Teflon 212, or Teflon 12, depending on where you know him from. And I lost. Yeah. But it was such a good match. You know, at that point, you don't care. When you have a good match in XCOM, even if you lose, you don't necessarily get all, like, aggro and upset. It's when you have... you know, you have that match that you just get obliterated on. That's when you just get pissed off, Chris.
What?
You've kicked my ass every time.
Anyway, that one close game.
Yeah, we did. All right. Well, let's transition over into some new releases. All right. So new releases this week on the Wii U. And the Wii.
Nada?
Yeah.
Nathan Zip?
It is a reoccurring theme. Rupkus. And I don't know how they expect to sell consoles if they don't have games.
It ain't got games.
PS3 this week. Nothing on the retail shelves, but there are some PSN games coming. So you've got Fatal Frame 2, Crimson Butterfly, Zero Kara no Mahjong, Tamago Gumi.
Yep.
Well, and good. there's a second edition of it. I won't repeat the first part, but Tamago Gumi 2 Taikai E Iku.
Nope.
You are all welcome.
Yes.
Not so good.
No, I know.
I was proud of you, Greg.
Thanks. Thank you for that. The Fuse demo out on PSN as well. And moving over to the Xbox 360, it is a barren wasteland. They are following...
What the fuck?
Nothing happening. There's going to be an arcade game this week. I don't know what it is yet. They haven't released that, at least not on the site I'm looking at. The Fuse demo, of course, is out. And, there probably are some deals of the week. So yes, Serious Sam is kind of the big deal of the week. So if you like Serious Sam games, you can buy Serious Sam at a discount. And on the PC, some good stuff happened on the PC. Pinball FX2, Cube Against the Clock, which I think that may be the arcade game this week. I could be wrong, but I think that is it.
Sounds like it.
There's Trains Simulator, and there's three different versions of it, guys. Three different versions. There's the Aero Train, there's the BR Class 14, and the Coronation Scott.
Yep.
Yeah. And that is it for new releases.
Ba-dow.
All right, so news quiz, guys.
Yeah.
News... This is when the podcast gets serious, Greg.
Gets serious.
Right, gets real.
So, again, changing things up on you guys just a little bit.
What the hell?
So... This week, you are each playing for somebody from the community that has sent in a basic request by sending us a tweet, which now is just simply hashtag OC News Quiz. If you send that to us, you'll be included in the list of potential participants.
What was the hashtag you're getting, Greg?
Hashtag.
It's the thing
OC.
That has the two vertical lines and the two horizontal lines.
Like. Hashtag or pound sign, depending on who you are. It's hashtag OC News Quiz.
Sweet.
News as in the news, quiz as in a quiz. And you send that to us at the OC underscore podcast, and yeah, we'll get you in. This week, Mike, you are playing for Koi Nyokan 2381. Please get a different name.
I'll just call him Koi, or her Koi.
Isn't that Mark Davies?
It is Mark Davies.
Okay. Damn it, Mark, change your name. Come on. Come on. Chris, you are playing for Knight XXL.
Woohoo.
And Rich, you are playing for ENW99, which I believe is Chris Williams.
No.
Could be wrong.
This is Ian.
No?
No, that would be Ian.
Yeah, good point. Touche. Touche. My bad. All right. Fair enough. I'll stop talking. We'll talk news quiz. Here we go. Mike, you draw first bill this week.
All right. Here we go, Mark.
Yeah. Rich, you were number two, and Chris, you are pulling up the caboose.
Yeah, I love the caboose. Because I'm an S-man.
All right. Mike, here we go.
Yo.
First question.
You know I was so talented, did you?
No, I'm shocked. It was announced that Borderlands 2 is getting more DLC in the way of Tiny Tina's assault on Dragon Keep. When should gamers expect its release?
Okay.
A, May 28th, B, June 25th, or C, July 23rd?
Say May 28th.
I'm sorry. It is June 25th. Yes. DLC for Borderlands 2 will be available on June 25th, and is the fourth pack. It is included in the game season pass if you got it, but you can get it for $10 or 800 Microsoft points.
Boom.
And yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're gonna move right along, Mr. Primrose.
Mm-hmm.
You get a news question, and I suppose I should make this known now before we continue on. There are 10 news questions this week. There are two alternate questions this week that you can choose if they're available. They're trivia questions. They are not achievement questions.
No achievement questions this week?
No achievement questions this week. Hmm, indeed. All right, Rich.
Yes.
It's either a bizarre twist of timing or coincidence or something much bigger, but Peter Molyneux's game, Curiosity, looks like it will be ending on the same day as what event? A.
The end of the Mayan calendar. Oh, wait.
That already happened. A. The May Xbox reveal. B. The start of E3. Or C. Sony's press event at E3.
So it's the start of E3 or the press event for E3?
For Sony or the May Xbox reveal event.
Well, that guy's been tinkering around with that bloody game for that long, putting layers on, letting people buy extra layers, and basically moving the goalposts. I know it was pretty near the end.
Bioshock reference, huh?
Yeah. And E3's June, yeah.
Right.
I'm going to go... For he's been talking in the press about Microsoft recently, so I'm gonna. It's one of the Microsoft things, I think. I'm gonna go for the Xbox reveal.
Well done, Rich. Yes, in an interview with GameSpot, Molyneux told them, bizarrely, as part of that controversy with his game, is that the end of the cube, the last layer of the cube might well be, I mean, probably if you look at our analysis of probability, the same day that the next Xbox is announced.
Boom.
Yeah, bizarre twist of fate or conspiracy. We'll find out. He said, regarding the coincidence, there's an interesting opportunity possibly for me to, well, I can't say any more than that. There may be some words for me around that time. I'm not saying any more. Which, I mean, that's basically saying, yes, there's something going on there. Smoke where there's fire. All right, Rich, does Chris get a news question, or would you like to invoke one of the trivia questions?
Let's see what the trivia is.
All right. Well, the trivia this
trivial.
Week, it is trivial. You know, given the Xbox is going to be launching soon, or the new reveal, I figured we'd go back in a little bit of time machine and go back to the original Xbox reveal. So, Mr. Matthew, what was the name of the Xbox 360's first viral marketing campaign? Was it A, Our Colony, B, Origin Xbox 360, or C, Hex 168? And before you answer, I will tell you all three of those are, in fact, viral campaigns used in the Xbox 360.
Cool. What were the options again?
The options again are A, Our Colony, B, Origin Xbox 360, or C, Hex 168.
Yeah. How about I haven't a clue. Hex 168.
I am sorry, you are incorrect. Hex 168 was actually the third of the viral marketing campaigns to be launched. The original was Our Colony.
Damn.
And it kicked off May 12, 2005. And basically, the ARG section of Our Colony closed, and visitors were instead greeted with a promotional video hosted by Jay Allard. And so, yeah, that was the kickoff. And then the next one, of course, was the Origin Xbox 360.com one, in which you were able to go and basically reveal pictures and snapshots of the upcoming Xbox. Mm. And then they did a little raffle to get some people to the actual reveal event. So. Yeah.
Sometimes we worry too much about what the hardware looks like. You know what I'm saying? Like, people are all, I want to see what the console looks like. Who cares? How's it look on the screen?
I do agree with that. However, I will throw this out, and this was something that I think was raised even on the Veteran Gamers podcast. I know, I want to say it was on the weekend. We Can Confirm podcast, they were talking about this as well and saying how, oh, it's not that big of a deal. But what major hardware have you ever known to be revealed and announced to the world and not shown the hardware?
That's a fair point.
I don't think anybody's ever done that. And maybe they have, but it certainly wasn't on the level of the PlayStation 4.
Sony's playing games. They're like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you think.
Maybe it's like, oh, no. Well, we need to keep something back for E3. Can't tell.
Well, they certainly did.
I need to know if my curtains match it. I had a beige one, then I had to go out.
Did the curtains match the drape?
Easy. Yeah.
Easy, Tiger. All right, Mike, you are up next. News question for you. More troubling news for the Wii U, Mike.
Yep.
What popular sports title has been eliminated as a future game for the Wii U per EA? Is it A, Madden NFL 25, B, FIFA 2014, or C, NHL 2014?
I believe it is Madden.
You would be correct. Yes, EA came out and said we will not be releasing a Wii U version of Madden NFL 2013 or Madden NFL 25. However, we have a strong partnership with Nintendo and will continue to evaluate opportunities for delivering additional Madden NFL products for Nintendo fans in the future.
So, might look a different version for the Wii or something, like baby version?
Yeah.
Or something. Lego version or something?
Yeah.
Lego football would be pretty cool. Like, if you got a Lego real Madden hit, they would fall apart.
Yeah. That would be good. I
like
keep
it. You have to build the goalposts before you can cook a field goal.
Stop talking, Chris. We can make money from this.
Oh, sorry.
All right, Mike, what question is Rich going to get? You have one trivia question left, or he can get news.
Chucking some news.
All right. Mr. Primrose. Fraxis Games, the makers of XCOM, Enemy Unknown, and Civilization V, released the iOS game Ace Patrol, a turn-based World War I dogfighting game last week.
Mm-hmm.
But what other game did they release for iOS? Is it A, Haunted Hallow, B, Sorcery, or C, Leviathan Warships?
You know what? I heard about the bloody dogfighting game.
Yeah?
Say them again.
Your choices are Haunted Hallow, Sorcery, or Leviathan Warships.
Not going to have two warships ones out the window. The Haunted one. Haunted Hallow.
Haunted Hallow.
Haunted Mansion.
Well done, Mr. Primrose. Yes, Haunted Hallow was released. It basically takes place over a series of one-on-one tug-of-war style matches in which players scare the local villagers.
Son of a bitch.
For those of you keeping score at home, that's 2 points to Rich.
Yes, 2 points to Rich.
We're entering unknown territory here.
No points to CP. Sorry, Kevin.
1 point to Mike. Rich, what kind of question does Chris get? We talking news or the last trivia question?
News.
All right, Mr. Matthew. Bethesda has announced the Elder Scrolls Online will be playable at what event? The Xbox reveal, E3, or Gamescom?
Elder Scrolls at Gamescom. Eh? Let's go with it.
Well,
Gamescom.
Done. Well done indeed. Yes. Available at Gamescom. Yeah. So you'll be able to play Elder Scrolls Online, which kind of makes sense because Gamescom is a little more PC focused. They do love their PC games over in Germany.
I feel like that will get a lot of attention anywhere though. But yeah, maybe you're right. In Germany, you'll probably get more attention there.
I believe it's only going to be PC, so yeah, it makes
sense.
Yeah,
but if that was at E3, I'm sure it would get attention. But I think more attention would be paid towards it at a European event. Yes. I see the sense in that, Greg.
I mean, I'm sure it will make its way at E3, but it just will be playable for the first time at Gamescom.
Because in America, we only like first-person shooters.
America. All right, Mr. Matthew, what kind of question is Mike getting?
Mike's going to get a news question.
Mike is getting a news question. All right, Mike, your news question. Microsoft has registered numerous variants of XboxFusion.com.
Fusion.
Which has led... Yeah, Fusion.
Fusion.
Xbox Fusion.
God, I hope I don't call it Fusion.
Well, it's led many to speculate that the next Xbox will be called the Xbox Fusion. But my question to you, Mike... Oh. When were the URLs actually first registered? Was it A, January 2013, B, February 2013, or C, March 2013?
January.
I'm sorry, no. February 2013, they registered up the URL xboxfusion.com, as well as xboxfusion.co.uk, xboxfusion.de, xboxfusion.biz, basically a lot of Xbox Fusion websites. Now, for those wondering, Microsoft does not own these domains, xbox720.com, xboxinfinity.com, or xbox8.com, nor does it own xboxdurango.com or xboxinfinite.com. It does own xboxfusion.com, xboxnext.com, and xboxgold.com.
It would be awesome if when the console came out, it was just called the Next Box. That would be, I would buy it immediately.
You know what? It very well may be.
It could be just Xbox.
Yeah, it could be. What it is not, Mike, is you getting that question right.
Which means I have lost.
It means you're in some serious trouble.
Worse than that, Mike. Trouble. It means you're not in a position to help me win.
Yes, Rich, you are up next, and you're getting a news quiz. Here we go. TimeGate Studios has filed for bankruptcy protection, revealing that it owes between $10 and $50 million to upwards of 50 different creditors. TimeGate was also named in another recent lawsuit. Which of the following companies is not part of the recent class action lawsuit filed? Is it A, Sega, B, EA, or C, Gearbox Software?
Hmm. One smarty pants.
TimeGate. I don't even know what to do.
I could tell you.
Did, I know they had. They did Alien Colonial Marines, didn't they? They were the ones that were the subcontractors. So Gearbox made, definitely in the mix.
They made Duke's favorite game, Section 8.
Yeah.
Duke's going to be pissed.
Oh, God.
TimeGate dead.
Oh, it's going to have to be a guess between EA and who was the other one?
Sega.
Sega. So, oh, yeah, Sega. They're linked to Colonial Marines as well. EA, they weren't involved.
Well done, Rich. Yes, indeed. Gearbox and Sega both have been lumped in with TimeGate into a class action lawsuit, basically citing that they had a unfairly... And misrepresented the Gearbox Alien Colonial Marine demo to the public and basically bait-and-switched people and got their money for a game that was not what they promised. Or, in fact, what they were showing. Well, you know, this warrants a little discussion because I think there is a legitimate claim here.
Everyone for something.
Normally, I would say no. Normally, I would say I disagree with this lawsuit because, you know, a demo is a demo and, you know, that is what it is. But clearly...
The demo was produced, though, wasn't it, by Gearbox early on.
So, the demo was produced like a year in advance.
Yeah.
It was made to be like it was actual gameplay.
Yeah.
They showed it to the press and claimed it to be the game and gameplay. And they used that same demo... all the way up until basically weeks before the launch of the game, and they embargoed the press from talking about the actual game until after any pre-release, any pre-orders had been shipped.
Yeah, all right then. So basically Gearbox subcontracted, yeah? So if you're subcontracting to a plumber on a building site, if he don't do the work properly, who's liable for it? The person that's fucking running the site. So Sega should be suing fucking Gearbox.
See, this lawsuit's being brought up by gamers, and they're suing basically everybody involved with it, saying, hey, you all had a hand in this.
Yeah.
You all knew that the demo was not real. You all knew that what you were actually giving us was not what the final product was, purposely withheld that information. You purposely went out of your way to say to the press, you can't inform the public, and you did nothing to inform the public of what the actual game was going to be like.
I just feel like this is, like, I don't know. I've seen plenty of demos where it doesn't turn out the way it looks.
And you know, that is completely fair. And, Mike, you know, part of me wants to agree with you, but... I also feel like this feels so dirty from Gearbox and Sega and what got pulled here. And even Gearbox has gone on record and Sega has gone on record saying that, you know, it should not have been represented this way. And Randy Pitchford was, you know, on the public record saying that, you know, they're very sorry for what happened and they're definitely going to have to look into this because certainly some things were done, you know, and actions were taken that were not proper. And
it's put me off buying their games.
100%. I do not trust Gearbox now.
Damage their
Gearbox
name.
Absolutely. And what my hope is out of this, other developers, other publishers are really going to shy away from doing these what they call bullshot demos, where they're basically pimping it out to the nth degree, and it's not actual gameplay. It's not even reality of what the real game is going to look like. That has to stop. You know, I know in our advertisements on TV now, when gameplay trailers and stuff are being shown, I believe when it's like CGI or whatever, they have to say not actual gameplay footage or actual gameplay footage. They have a little runner at the bottom of the screen.
Yeah, I've noticed that as well. Yeah, you see that.
But so, you know, that was what, you know, I don't know. It just, to me, I want publishers to be held a little more accountable. And so far, we haven't had that ability. You know, they just...
I don't know. I just think this is a bit like suing for no reason. Like, I don't know. I don't feel like this is going to stand at all. But hey, yep. I'm not
we
a judge.
Shall see.
I'm not a judge, yeah. Greg.
No, Mike, you are not. And nor are you in charge of the next question. Mr. Richard Primrose, that is you.
Second trivia one, please.
Second trivia one. Mr. Matthew, you know that is you,
bastard.
Right? Yes. All right. As I scroll down the page to the second trivia question. All right, Mr. Matthew. The Xbox 360 launched with 18 games in the U.S. It launched with 16 games in Europe. How many games did it launch with in Japan? Is it A, 6, B, 10, or C, 14?
6, 10, or 14.
Yes, sir.
This is terrible. I'm going to go with 10.
I'm sorry.
You suck.
Yeah. Launched with 6. It was surprisingly low,
six?
Yes.
I read a wicked article about when they were trying to break into Japan, all about all the execs that they were sending over there and how hard they were finding it, you know, going to dinners and stuff like that and trying to get the, you know, the people that distribute out there to get on board with it. And it was like pure culture clash. It's I can't remember who wrote it, but it was really good. Yeah. Disaster. Dead of all time.
Speaking of disaster, this news quiz.
This news quiz is
freaking terrible.
All right, Mike, we are coming back around to you. Yep. You get another news quiz question.
Yes.
Oh, there's
Mike.
Four questions?
Yes.
Damn
it is a big news quiz this
I
week.
Had a
yes.
Chance. No, I don't have
Mike.
A chance.
John Needham. John Needham is now the new head of Lionhead Studios.
Yeah. Right.
Which of these MMOs is he not known for having been a CEO of? Okay, so he was not in charge of one of these MMOs.
Okay.
The choices are A, Star Trek Online, B, Age of Conan, and C, Marvel Universe Online.
Marvel.
Sorry, you were incorrect. Wow. No, Age of Conan. So, yeah, he was a head of Marvel Universe Online and Star Trek Online, which really points a big, okay, now he's head of Lionhead. I wonder what they're going to do with Fable.
Yeah. And also, it seems like a bit of a trend for Microsoft that they're doing kind of always online games. It sounds like that Destiny is going to be an always online game. You know what I mean? It requires the internet for it to kind of use it to its maximum potential.
Right.
And then you've got the Respawn Entertainment one, which, you know, where you're fighting Titans with your friends and stuff. That feels like it's a bit more online. So maybe the next Xbox won't require an always-on kind of system, but they're encouraging games that use the internet. Like fully
right.
in different ways,
so
like,
you'll
like
have
an
to
MMO
be
version
online.
Of it, yeah. So you have to be online anyway,
right.
But it's not really like I mean you can play it on your own, but it won't be as fun.
Right. Well, and that's just like Sony. The way they skated around that issue, they said, "Well, they are not going to require always online, but they, will leave that up to individual publishers on whether they will require always online."
It just seems like the current trend that's emerging for next gen games at the moment is. They seem to be some sort of MOBAs or MMOs on the console at the moment, from what I've seen.
Well, hey. Mike, speaking of always online.
Tell you what.
Rich, your next question deals with this. A leaked memo to Ars Technica on Monday revealed what about Microsoft's plan for always online and always on? So is it A, you will indeed need an internet connection to play games? B, certain functions will just work regardless of connection status? Or C, it is still a decision they are contemplating by implementing through their back end?
Certain functions will work when not online.
Well done, Rich. A clean sweep. Yes, indeed.
Who are you? What have you done with Rich?
He's been cloned or something. There are a number of scenarios that our users expect to work without an internet connection.
Yeah, like the fucking console. I'm sorry, what?
And those should just work regardless of their current connection status.
So what's
those
this? What's this from? Like,
this is from an internal memo at Microsoft out to the entire team. So basically, they're kind of clearing the air and making sure everybody's on the same page.
Has this been officially like released or was it leaked? Sorry.
It was not officially released. It was leaked to Ars Technica, and Ars Technica has a very good reputation for not making up crap. Those connection statuses, those features include but are not limited to playing a Blu-ray disc, watching live TV, and yes, playing a single-player game.
Yeah,
yeah. That it just seemed to me like that was a corporate memo type thing just to get everybody genned up on where they stood with it, and after the Twitter thing with Orphy Boy.
Yeah. The man who almost single-handedly took apart the entire Xbox marketing plan by himself.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
All right. Well, that leaves us the last question for Mr. Matthew. Chris.
Go ahead.
What company has been given exclusive rights to the Star Wars license via Walt Disney?
He doesn't even give him a chance.
Doesn't even give him a chance. Yes, Electronic Arts has been awarded the exclusive licensing for Star Wars.
I'm sorry, Kevin.
Wonder if BioWare are doing
sorry.
It.
Well, you know, think about it. There's a ton of developers that could that could do well with this.
Is hopeful for this is hopeful for Mr. Scath. He was a big fan of the Star Wars Battlefront games, right?
Yeah, as am I. As am I.
The Battlefield people.
Yeah, and they published it, Battlefront.
Maybe there's hope.
Maybe there is hope.
So,
maybe a new hope?
All right, well, that means, Ian.
Very good, Chris.
W99, you got 100 Microsoft points coming to you and the potential for 100 more.
Damn you, Rich.
So how do you, Greg, how do you feel about the whole
thing? What's this?
I'm a sore loser.
I'm sorry, Mike, what were you saying now?
How do you feel about the whole Star Wars thing? You didn't really talk about how you feel.
No, I'm actually very excited. I was really afraid that Disney was just taking that and killing it. And
they've got to release games because
I was really afraid they were going to release it to a developer that was just going to be able to do shovelware. And it really, in EA's hands, as much as people bitch about EA, I feel EA does.
They can put money behind it,
though,
can't they?
They can put money behind it. They can make good games. They've got the Frostbite 3 engine, which, let's face it, Star Wars Battlefront 3 would be a perfect game for that.
Yeah.
You've got. Let's not forget the little things as well, though, Greg. One of the biggest growth parts of EA at the moment is mobile gaming.
There's that.
There is that.
No doubt
about it. I've got a feeling that, you know, has anybody said anything about 1313? Because
nothing officially has been said about it yet, but certainly, you got to think that they can at least.
I feel like there's got to be code lying around with that somewhere, and EA is thinking, well, we could brush this off and sort it all out.
Right. There was also that, was it Republic Commando? No.
Yeah.
There was a Star Wars Assault or something like that.
There was a Republic Commando. I think gamers in general will say, well, EA is better than nothing. You know, like, I'll take
Absolutely.
It. Because they, like we just said, they can put money behind a game. They can put a massive marketing campaign.
Maybe we'll get a new TIE Fighter game or some new Boba Fett game, some more evil characters, because EA is actually the worst company in America. Again.
Oh. So unfair.
I look forward to the DRM DLC always on Star Wars game. It's going to be great. With an online pass.
You have to prick your finger and hold it over the mouse button to verify your DNA before you can play it.
Only available on Origin.
Oh, there is that. Mm. There is that.
Now I'm sad.
Way to bring the podcast down, Rich. All right, Rich, it is your moment of glory. You have won the whole news quiz. You now have an opportunity.
It would be unfortunate now if you dropped off the call or something weird like that, Rich.
It would be really unfortunate.
It'd be a shame if something bad was to happen to you.
That did happen. That was just the equivalent of me dropping the mic and walking off. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bitch in! Come on, then.
Shooter behind the grassy knoll. All right, you get a bonus question. This will potentially win another 100 points for ENW99. Here we go.
Let's have it.
Your bonus question, Chris. Rich.
Yep.
So I'm so used to Chris winning all these quizzes.
Yeah, rub it in, Greg. Rub it in.
The PlayStation 3 launched in 2006 in Japan with 6 titles. Later in the U.S., it launched with 12 titles. But how many did it launch in the PAL territories with? Was it A, 25 games, B, 29 games, or C, 33 games?
So America was what?
America was 12. Japan was 6. And the PAL territories, including the UK, got either 25, 29, or 33 games at launch. A big part of this was because the PlayStation 3 launched considerably later in the PAL territories.
I can remember. I'm going to go with substantially larger amount, but not the massive ones like you've been saying. 25.
I am sorry. It is 29. 29 titles, yes. PlayStation 3 came with some thunder into the PAL territories, that's for sure. All right, but either way, ENW99, it's getting crazy around here. You have 100 Microsoft points coming to you.
Well done, Ian.
Well done, Ian.
Congratulations. Sorry, Mark.
Yes.
Sorry.
All right.
Don't send your giant dog to eat me.
Or do. It would make for a good podcast story.
Have you
story.
Seen his dog? He has an awesome dog.
Whoa. Send in the Kraken.
Release the Kraken.
All right. This is where we would take a show break.
I like how you say would take a show break because we're not. Right. Let's just.
We're not. We're powering through.
I feel like I feel like I could take last a break for like a day.
I know, but last week's show break was awesome. If you guys didn't listen to it, BioShock Under the Sea song, fantastic.
But BioShock was in the sky.
No, BioShock Infinite was in the sky. All right. Community mailbag. We had a couple questions. I don't even know if anybody answered any of these, but hey, we threw them out there. Name a game that reminds you of the Overseas Connection host. This is like a long-standing,
that's an ongoing question. Every ongoing, week, we'll take your submissions.
Yes.
If we really like them, we'll say something nice about you.
Yes. Simple things like games about people killing UPS truck drivers. Clearly, Christopher
Grand Theft Auto. I'm certain there's a UPS truck driver in there somewhere.
Right. Anything with a mechanized machine, probably me.
As opposed to the unmechanized machines.
Also true. Again, GTA though, Chris, I kind of, Mike, gotta say.
Oh, that's certainly a Mike game, absolutely.
I mean, you mentioned GTA, and I'm pretty sure he has a hard-on right now.
But you see,
again, you probably don't hear that, but.
We're going with, like, the game reminds me of this person because they really like the game. But let's go to the next, let's take it to the next level of analysis. Like, for instance,
you hear the game name and you want to punch Rich in the nose because he says Dark Souls.
Well, not even that. Like, trivia quiz show reminds me of Greg because it has an annoying host. You know, that kind of
stuff. 1 versus 100. All right. And then the second half of the last week community question was, tell us a game from your past that's frustrated you the most. It induced some kind of rage quitting, throwing of controllers, just overall tantrum. Tell us your game. Why don't we throw this around the table? What game? I know I have one. And I know I've experienced Mr. Matthew having a rage quitting moment, but I don't think that was from frustration. Mine was actually, this is going to be not a big shock to, I think, anybody, but it was Steel Battalion, but not because of what you're thinking. There was a moment in that game where there's a detonation.
This is the Kinect one, right?
Yes, this is the Kinect one. There's a detonation plunger that you're supposed to crawl. I know. Well, I'm telling it again. There's people out there that have not heard this story.
Yeah.
It has to be told. Yeah, you're crawling to this detonation plunger, and you're supposed to crawl up to it. There's gunfire whizzing by your head, explosions all around. I mean, it's pandemonium. You're supposed to reach up, push down, and blow the bridge. And every time I'm crawling to this thing, I get killed. Without fail.
And I'm like, fun.
The F. And I literally had to have done this, like, I don't know, 10, 12 times now. And, of course, it always restarts you all the way back at the very beginning of that part. So I'm just getting frustrated. I completely just say, fuck this. I'm walking away from it. And about a month later, I go back and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to give it a try. And as I'm playing through it, lo and behold, at the bottom of the screen, in white text that gets pretty well garbled up into the ground textures, because they had subtitles. You can't hear the guy saying it because the explosions are going off, but he says, hold still. And if you hold still, and then he says, go, you go forward, you can do it just fine.
Red light.
But yeah,
green light.
Exactly. But that was just infuriating. I could not figure out what I was doing wrong, and of course I was immediately blaming Kinect. I was like, it's all its fault, this is stupid, blah, 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 and it was just me not listening.
I had a similar thing happen in Batman Arkham City, like today, but obviously that's not Kinect, but there's a bit where you have to port the Penguin, spoilers, and like there's a bit, like he said, you know, I'll let you have this one for free, and you have to disrupt his gun, but I couldn't get close to him, and I was like, what? Did you do it, Primrose?
I remember that bit. It's where you're like on the perimeter of like, and he's in the middle, isn't he?
Yeah, he's in the middle, and you're around the circle.
Yeah.
And you're going around, and he says, Batman keeps on saying, you've got to override his gun with this thing that you've just unlocked, right? I think, fine. So every time I try and run over to him, he shoots me. But what you have to do, really, similar to you, Greg, where you just have to stand still, when he says, go on then, I'll let you have this one for free, if you walk very slowly towards him, right, and not get too close, you can do it. But I try to run towards him, and it wouldn't work, and as soon as I get too close, he'd shoot me. And I was like, oh, God, so stupid. But, yeah. Hey.
Okay. Rich, what about you? Any frustrating moments aside from your laptop game of power?
My life club in Call of Duty 4. That was very frustrating.
The what?
My life club.
I never even attempted that.
I did that twice.
I remember the first time Gears of War getting very frustrated at them. Not the ROM was hard, you know, at the end, the boss.
Right.
But the whole driving around with them fucking things attacking you, and you've got the floodlight thing.
On Insane, that was stupid. That was.
Yeah, that was. Yeah, we did that on Insane as well. That and the other one, it wasn't so much about the game being difficult, but I was just like, "You bastard!" Was Arkham Asylum, where, and I know a couple of people had this, where the game save got corrupted on Poison Ivy.
Oh.
So I had to do the whole.
Exactly where Tara's game save got corrupted on.
Yeah, I heard you saying it the other day, and I sympathised because I had exactly the same one. And so luckily, my niece was well into Batman. So I created a new save and got her to play up to Poison Ivy. And I told, I briefed all the kids, you cannot go past Poison Ivy. When you get to Poison Ivy, you got to tell me. So yeah. But that was really annoying, that was.
Yeah. She has it's a sore point now, Batman round her. She doesn't like bringing it up because it reminds me of LeBron. She really enjoyed it. It's very rare that she plays for a whole game like that. And she got to Poison Ivy, which is fairly far in.
Yeah, it is.
You know, you're not far off. You're good, just past 2/3, and she was like, fuck this game, fuck Batman, and fuck you.
Yeah.
Okay.
My son's got one as well. His is his crash course with Greg.
Oh, you know what? Look, the kid had it coming.
Yeah.
Was he well? Okay, that wasn't a frustrating moment. Maybe it was frustrating for you because it wasn't letting your son win.
No, this is grudge match. This is Greg. I told you that new one's coming out this week.
I know.
Is that coming for you? Tell him.
You know what? In fact, going back to new releases, I totally forgot. Doritos Crash Course is coming out free on Wednesday.
Is it a new one?
Yay.
Yeah.
It's a new one. Crash Course 2, yes.
Oh, I love those ones. Oh, good.
Yeah. It's fun, Chris. It's fun. It's fun, good, clean, fun, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
You should try it.
Sounds mm-hmm. like it.
Yeah. Free gamer score.
I don't care, man.
Damn it. All right. Let's move over to Mr. Matthew. What was your frustrating game or moment?
Mm. In most recent memory, Mass Effect 3. Because I was like, I got this. I'm a Mass Effect. I am Shepard. So I tried to play through on Insanity on my first go, and that was difficult. The very last battle where you're having to protect the truck or the missile truck or whatever.
You have to call the missiles and stuff.
Although you don't actually have to protect the truck. You just have to stay alive for a certain amount of time.
It's those Saurons that got me. You know, those look
thin. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's banshee things. Yeah.
I must have died on that part 20, 25 times. I finally got through it, and then there's two battles. I was like, the really hard one that you actually have to kill everything, and then there's another one where you don't. You just have to stay alive for like a minute and then go push the button. And I stayed alive for a minute, and I just started running to the button, and I got killed like at the button.
Oh, man.
Motherfuck.
I was very upset. And then I did finally complete that. But that was the most recent in memory. Okay. And I know I did have I had a string of bad days on Battlefield 3, and I rage quit a couple times.
That's understandable.
I'm in my Zen mode now.
It's good. Fatherhood is calming you down.
I'm starting to learn what matters and what doesn't, and Battlefield 3 doesn't.
Yeah, I do have to say, going back to Mass Effect 3, those banshee siren things, I can honestly say, out of any enemy I've encountered in a game, those things struck like fear in me.
Yeah,
like,
you would hear them start wailing. You just go, no, please.
Yes,
no.
Exactly. No.
Because they warp to you, don't they, as well?
Yeah. Well, I did some looking around on the internet, and what I learned, something that I didn't know because I thought I was a Mass Effect pro, was that the cryo rounds were far more effective at the force ability, the Jedi tricks that they do, biotics, the biotic barriers. So with a regular shield, you use the electrical rounds, but with the biotic barriers, you use the cryo rounds. And once I went online and found that little trick, then I was able to get through that part. But it was frustrating.
Yeah, I can understand that. I can understand that.
So, yeah, that was my last real true, like, that cost me a controller rage quit. So,
ooh, a controller even.
I was furious.
That's an expensive one.
I stood up and I spiked the controller, and I have a concrete floor in my game room, so the controller lost.
I'll tell you what always gets me tense, and I don't play them very often, but, like, my palms sweat after playing them is, like, driving games. Driving games seem to kind of really, like, gnaw me up.
And yeah.
Multiplayer driving games do that to me.
Yeah,
it's like
good, intense race.
Ones.
Yeah, when you're not getting laps and you're just doing it over and over again.
Like my thumb can hurt, or my, you know, before, back in the SNES days, where you have to press A or something to accelerate instead of the triggers. Like, I remember my finger just hurting really bad because I just press it so much. And I still get that now. I still get really tense, like Split Second and Blur. I still get really tense when I play those. I don't play them very often. But yeah, they always kind of stroke something else in me as a gamer.
Not to completely go on another tangent, but speaking of being tense, I forgot what I was playing. I was playing something. It was online multiplayer, and I was at the edge of the couch, and I kind of had my feet like tucked, almost like a squat position on the edge of the couch. And I got up after playing for like a good hour and a half, and my right ankle just was killing me.
Mm. You've got to put your feet up.
It was almost like
you've got to put your feet up when you game because you'll be suffering otherwise.
Yeah.
Get up, do some squats every now and again. I did have one rage quit of Forza Motorsport 2 long, long ago. We were racing one night, just a group of us, and I was trying to work up towards the online 1 million achievement. This was back when I cared about achievements. Right. And the thing with Forza Motorsport 2 was if you didn't finish the race, you didn't get any credits.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So we were coming around. I was going to finish second or third. It wasn't going to be. But it was going to be a few thousand credits towards my million. And I shouldn't have said anything. I should have just driven. But I actually, you know, made the request because there was somebody in the lobby who was notorious for crashing people and thinking it was hilarious. I actually made the request, please don't crash me as I come around to the finish line because I'm just barely going to beat the end of race timer. And they went ahead and crashed me anyway, and I didn't finish the race. And so I was like,
in hindsight,
fuck this, I'm out of here.
In hindsight, I'm really sorry about that.
That wasn't you. but
it sounds like something I would have done, though, I have to admit.
No, and yeah, I mean, and it would have been, like, if it would have been, like, we were just clowning around. Like, we had some races.
Sure.
We had some races with the G4TE race nights where we would all get on the giant oval course and just go to town and crash each other. And those were kind of fun. But at that particular moment, I was very serious about achievements. so happy that I don't care about achievements anymore. It's such a renewed lease on gaming. Anyway.
All right. Well, let's move on. Yes, let's talk about the community responses.
I
think we only had a couple on Gate. I know of one at least.
Like five, man.
All right. Well, I posted up late, so I wasn't sure how good the responses were going to be.
Well, I'm sure we had some really good ones. I'm in no way stalling for time.
No way are you stalling for time. We don't do that on this show.
Stalling.
I'm gonna break the fourth wall because I had this open the whole time we were in the show, and I just closed it a minute ago, and I have no idea why. But it's a good thing because we had a late response.
That's good.
So here we go. Greg asks the question. Denver J says, the last game I truly rage quit was World of Warcraft. I was in a group, and for some reason, I couldn't get some stupid task to trigger. Everyone else seemed to make it work, but I was just banging my head on the keyboard, and my toon was bashing himself into a wall or whatever. In my frustration, I stood up, keyboard in hand, dropped an F-bomb that woke my wife, and slammed the keyboard down onto the desk. Oh, the pieces, so many pieces, and quit. I quit the damn game and canceled my account at that very moment, and have never, ever played again. Nor will I even glance at that piece of crap game. So that was a serious, like, that's a permanent quit.
That's like permanent damage.
Yes. Let's see. Ordi, Call of Duty, World at War. That was really frustrating with grenades being thrown. I believe he's referring to trying to complete the campaign on veteran difficulty.
Oh, my God. I did that, and that was so bad. There's three people in front of me. There were six grenades. That means they were two each. Like, who does that?
The dual-wielding grenades. Maybe they had them tied together. I don't know. No one does that. Mark Davies says, the last game I can remember having a full-on rage quit with was Battlefield 3. It was a couple of months after its release, playing Rush on Operation Metro. We were being spawn-camped at the bottom of the stairs, and every time I died, the kill cam showed me someone prone inside a box or a wall. I was furious. I get why people do it, but it's far from my playstyle. I turned the 360 off in a strop. That's
strong. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm assuming that means a huff or in some other way being angry, and went for a walk. P.S. I won't start ranting about emptying an entire clip into someone's face, only for them to survive and one-shot me. Arg.
I've only switched the Xbox off in this drop in one game. That was Gears of War. That was once. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, it got to me. And I was just like, fuck this. Switched it off.
Okay. Yeah.
I have no idea what... Oh, ha! Anyway, Super says, Beowulf. I couldn't hit the B button repeatedly fast enough to satisfy the conditions for killing this dude multiple times. Decided, I'm getting too old for this shit. Madden 09. Everything I tried to do, the Xbox decided, nah... How about this instead? And I got brutally trounced for no good reason. Started to whip the controller into the plasma and in mid-throw turned and flung it at the wall. Good call. Oh, and the Mile High Chivo. I was APO. Oh, I have no idea. I just realized I can barely pronounce this word, much less spell it. I believe he's trying to spell apocalyptic. No. Apocalyptic. Apoplectic.
Apoplectic?
Yes, which he defines for us, for those of us not gifted in the English language, the sort of rage where you brain hemorrhage or stroke out. Okay, there you have it. Andy, 93285, says, before CP gets to read this, Greg, the thread title spelling should be frustrating.
Oh, yes, I know,
no
I misspelled
I
it.
No I after the A.
Yes, yes, so, yes.
Apparently someone fixed it for you. And I didn't even notice because I can't spell for shit. I can spell for shit. F-O-R space S-H-I-T.
You're a funny guy, Chris. You're a funny
you
guy.
Are
funny.
Yes.
That's a terrible, terrible joke. Don't laugh at that. Only a couple of games have really led me to a controller fit. First one was Halo 3, Level 8, Flood, then More Flood, then More
Flood. Oh, yeah.
God. Oh, yeah.
That was the – so Halo 3 was the first game I ever tried to finish on the hardest difficulty. And that level I couldn't get past. I was just like, ah, screw it. I eventually did it in co-op because that's how you do it in
Halo.
That's
a way easier way of doing it, yeah.
Brohammer action. The second one was more recent when XCOM decided that my only remaining sniper, who had a 100% chance to hit a Mutant Berserker, decided that he would, in all fairness to the Mutant, miss. The game and the controller, which fortunately was wired to my PC, so the inline release stopped my PC from toppling, ended soon afterwards.
You know, if I threw my controller for every time I've had bad luck with XCOM in terms of like shot percentages.
Yeah, but a 100%, I mean, that is kind of...
Well, that is ridiculous.
I don't know. That sounds like ridiculous. Something bad happened.
Yeah, that sounds like a glitch.
It might have been a hit with just no damage. Sometimes the Mutant Berserkers just don't take damage. Spitfire Ian, congratulations, by the way, says, yes, the World at War campaign on Veteran had some very frustrating sections. He's agreeing with Orty here. One through the trenches with a flamethrower and another section way down the hill.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, you had to kick those little cans over and...
Yeah, and I had no clue that was what I had to do. I sat for like a good half hour trying to figure out what the hell I was doing wrong because I would get down there and I'd be like, what am I not seeing?
There's this one cave on the trenches level. There's that hill, and then there was the entrance into the big building at one of the last levels.
Mm.
Ridiculously difficult on Veteran. Ugh.
Mm. Ugh. Like... Mass Effect 1, this is Spauk. He says, Mass Effect 1, I was probably somewhere on mission 3 or 4 early in the game. I was in the six-wheeled tank on a planet and had to drive to a particular location. But I couldn't figure out how to get there. I tried one session for about an hour and a half, kept as calm as I could by mentally repeating, this time I'll get it, no, okay, this time, until I hung my head in defeat. I put that game on the shelf for probably 3+ years. Eventually, after finishing Mass Effect 2 and 3 with a made-from-scratch new character, I wanted to get the Long Service Award for importing a character all the way from Mass Effect 1 through Mass Effect 3. So back to the first game, and somehow I found the route after a couple of tries. Really? It was that simple all along? Sheesh. After finishing Mass Effect 1 and 2, I then found my character would not import to Mass Effect 3. What? that's what he typed. I thought I would have to face starting. he put what? Exclamation, exclamation, question, exclamation, question, exclamation. I read that as what? Anyway, I thought I would have to face starting completely over. Fortunately, I was able to find a save point near the end of Mass Effect 2 and only had to replay about 30 minutes. I was then able to import into 3. Whew. Yes, whew, indeed. Teflon 12, who is apparently the greatest XCOM player on the planet, says, back on the original Xbox.
Go ahead.
I was sitting in my barracks room in Pensacola, Florida, during some training we had to go through. I was sitting there playing Samurai Warriors 2 on the hardest difficulty. During one battle, which I can't quite remember, I kept getting killed by one particular character. After about the 10th time it happened, I jumped to my feet and slung the controller across the room. I took a breath, picked up the controller. It was one of the massive original controllers. Thankfully, it wasn't broken as I only had the one. I then stacked a bunch of pillows in the spot where the controller hit the wall and floor and proceeded to hit that mark when flinging my controller each time after that. It's a good plan. On a more recent note, I find that particular tactic useful when playing Bioshock Infinite in 1999 mode. It's a good point. And ParsonNose 3000 finishes up with Call of Duty 2, The Silo, on Veteran. I had to walk away a number of times through sheer frustration. It took me about 2 or 3 days of checkpoint reloading to finally manage it. I don't think I've ever rage quit a game, though, or given up entirely because it was too hard. And I have to agree, I had never finished Call of Duty 2 on Veteran because I couldn't get past Silo Town because I'm a noob. What can I say?
Well, Silo Town, what was that again?
It's one of the mission. It's there's like 7 objectives. You have to clear out this little town.
Is one like a post office HQ?
Yeah, there's a post office, and there's a farmhouse, and there's a headquarters, and there's a big silo in the middle, so it's called Silo Town. I could never get that part on Veteran. I must have reloaded that 30 times, and I was eventually like, you know, not
it was
that much.
Post, I remember it was like a post office thing, and God, that took me so long to do. Well,
and the problem with it was is the infinitely respawning enemies. Like, I would clear out, I would start to clear out an area, and then every time I would get ready to advance, I would see 8 dudes running down the hill into the building that I was looking at.
Yeah, you have to cross like an invisible line for it to kind of stop doing that. Yes. It got annoying.
And every time I tried to cross that line, I got shot.
Okay.
But anyway, that's the gate responses.
Well, excellent.
Well done.
Excellent.
Thank you, everyone, for participating.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you indeed. Rich, I believe we have a couple tweets.
We've got a couple. Going back to last week, I think we had a bit of confusion about S73PJY, which was, in actual fact, Step J. So, he corrected us there, and we said, shit, man, we do this late at night. We do this late. So, then another one, going back to the question about games that remind you of the hosts. That one, IP said, the Johnson gun from Shadows of the Damned reminds me of Chinny because he's a bit of a dick. Cheers for the MS points, Mike.
See? Perfect. Perfect.
Yes. And moving on.
Moving on.
Yes. What's that plinking sound?
Plinking. Plinking.
I can hear plinking.
Someone's playing Plinko.
That was Greg sending me a message.
Yes, over and over
again. Sent you a message.
Being a dick.
Being a dick.
Like me. I apparently am.
No.
Come on.
Maybe a little.
Yeah.
And then the other one really was Jason Johnson, Teflon212, thanking Greg for an awesome game of XCOM.
Yeah. Oh. Thank you for allowing me to kick your ass. Thank you. Yes, Jason, you are welcome. You kicked my ass.
Hey, Mike, did you get the audio file?
Yes, I did, yeah.
Okay. Just checking.
You know, sometimes you have to post these things in all different locations because I never know where his eyes are.
Blink.
You know, is it on Skype? Is it on the notes? I mean, let's face it. I know they're not on the notes. So then I have to go to other resources. I have to try and figure out a way to get his attention without interrupting the show.
That works.
Which you've just done an exceptionally long version of doing.
You know, you started it. Let's face it.
But, dude, it was over in like 3 seconds. But, and then you just,
dude,
like, hey, since we're going here, let's just spend a minute.
Since we're going here.
Philosophical about this whole process.
All right. Let's talk about the question for next week, which is, other than the what game reminds you of a host, we don't have a question. Ask us a question, any question. I don't care what it is. You know ask us a question because we are lazy.
I'm going to throw out a challenge to the listeners. Don't ask us a gaming-related question. Ask us a question about something other than gaming. It can be...
Not mathematical.
Car care. Metrics. It can be cooking. It can be science. It can be... Don't ask us any political questions.
I was about to say, so far, I think the only person that's going to be answering questions is Chris.
Well, I mean, surely you can contribute some topics. I'm just thinking off the top of my head.
Oh, yeah.
Ask us about wildlife. Greg knows all about that in California.
Yes. Yeah. Clearly. I am an authority on squirrels. All right.
Labrador Retriever?
This is when we play a jingle, Chris.
Yes, we do.
Starsky's bored. Let's do this.
So nothing happening early in the week, which is good because this show won't come out until Thursday. But on Thursday,
Wednesday,
it'll come out, Chris. Great, it's getting fast. So if you listen to the show quickly, you'll have time to jump in. That's what she said. I know. If you'll have time to jump into the Battlefield 3 double XP event with Gamer Girl 27, so get some double XP in Battlefield 3. Friday night Halo 8 p.m. Which we've been saying GMT, but I believe it is now BST, right? It's British summertime or something.
So. Bullshit time?
What?
Bullshit time.
That's this whole show.
BST.
Also, okay. Friday night Forza with Daniel Atchison. Call of Duty 2, or excuse me, Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare is taking place on Saturday, if you still have that one. The Movie Car Championship is moving on. 9 p.m. BST. That's Forza 4. And Sunday at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 11 p.m. British Summertime, Mark Henix and Parsip Nose will be playing the co-op in Ghost Recon Future Soldier, and they need two more battle buddies.
Right. And so I'm pretty sure they're still doing that. I'm pretty sure they may not.
They posted it again, so I think they are.
Okay, good. I feel better now.
If they aren't, then, well... just send them messages until they do. The 24/7 Minecraft server is up. Call of Duty Black Ops 2 clan is looking for a few good Space Marines. The XCOM tournament continues. And the 5th annual Gamerscore Challenge is underway. But you can join at any time. Just contact Mark Henix on the forums. And don't forget that the veteran gamers... Counter-Strike on Steam this week?
Oh, sorry, that's last week. It's Full House Poker this week.
Full House. I should have known. Full House
Poker. It's a good game.
It's a good game. It is a good game. We're not arguing that.
I say it's not a good game. I didn't say that. And, of course, the lousy at gaming people are lousy at racing on 9 p.m. Eastern Time with NASCAR, the game, inside line. Happy birthday this week to Mark Henix. Thydurian, sure. Zodiac Lector and G Dog 79.
Happy birthday.
G Dog. Galaxy News Radio. And welcome to the new members. Only one, but it's plural. Halo and Horns. Welcome.
That's nice.
Right.
Yeah, no, that's right. Halo and Horns.
We're still achieving victories. New contest began on May 1st, and you have until July 31st to get your entries in. Congratulations this week to the victory achievers. Hardly Dan finished Sleeping Dogs. Nick Nitrous finished Call of Duty Black Ops. Amaras 89 finished Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon. PG Tip 77 finished Lego Batman 2. Mark Davies finished Ilo Milo and Borderlands 2, and Mark Henix finished The Darkness 2. So get out there, finish some games. And this is important, Mike. Don't forget to take a picture showing your face and some proof of the finishing of the game, spoiler-free, and send that to @g4te.com, spell a dot, on Twitter.
Yes, which leads us right into our community spotlight, yes, which, of course, we know Mike is ready on the spot to kick that off.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
This is Parsnip Nose 3000 with another weekly community spotlight. Well, it's that time of the year again, isn't it? The end of the quarter. That only means one thing in G4TE land. It means the end of the Victory Achieved competition and the beginning of the next Victory Achieved competition. So, I have the results here. Shiny very kindly texted them to me. We have 108 games finished by 33 people. Wow, that's a lot.
Nice.
Mark Henix finished 15 this quarter, which was too short of Amras 89's record. And the winner is... shall I tell you or shall I keep it a secret? No, I'll tell you. Okay, Skidmark, Jim Langer, Well done, Skidders.
Well done, Skid.
He finished 6 games, and he is the recipient of a farm in Ohio. or something. I forget what Shiny told me the prize
perhaps
was.
Grow me some
anyway, well done, Skidders. I won't edit out that slip I just made. Well done, Skidders. That's it from me for another week. Okay, I'm flailing. I forgot what I was going to say. Bye.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
Oh, Parsnip. No, well done, indeed. Yeah, that's... I believe he gets Microsoft points, not a farm in Ohio.
I think I believe it's $20 in preferred gaming currency.
Oh, okay. There you go. $20 in preferred gaming currency. Even better. All right. That means we move on. We're kind of wrapping the show up now, guys. I think it's time.
It's time.
Indie Writer Block. It's this place. Oh, thank you for that, Rich. I'm sure the listeners wanted to know. Indie Writer's Block, it's a place where you can contribute and put up content onto G4TE.com, and other people can come in and look at what you've written and or recorded, video, the whole nine yards. We have some videos up there. We have some recipes up there. Chris, I know you've been active on the Gamer's Grill.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I think you're slacking a little bit.
I put mine up then. I did it months ago, and nobody's put it up.
I have no idea what you're talking about. You need to send that to Chris.
I sent it through to you on the Gmail account with pictures and everything.
I resend it. That's all I have to say. Resend it, and maybe just send it to Chris. Probably the better route.
I have been slacking. I have one that I need to write up. I made a red ring of death pie. I just need to get that up on the thing.
A red ring
is that
of
called
death
a curry?
Pie.
No, so No, I had a. I was. This is just kind of a random. I was looking through the pantry, and there was a can of cherry pie filling there, and the brand of the cherry pie filling was Comstock. So I was like, oh, I got to use this. So I made a cherry pie, and I just used some of the glaze to make the top of the pie look as though it was the red ring of death on the beginning of on the front of an Xbox. The beginning of an Xbox. I guess that's technically the end of an Xbox. Anyway. I'll write that up eventually.
Okay.
I've been busy, man. I'm sorry. I'm getting ready to move.
It's okay. It's okay.
It's not okay, it's Greg. It's not okay.
It's cool, man. It's cool.
Just calm down. Eat some popcorn.
Don't tell me to calm down.
Anyway, so yeah, if you want to get involved with the Indies Writer Block and slack off like Chris,
yeah,
or be active
right,
like myself, Mike, other contributors, not Richard Primrose, all you have to do is send an email. I love you, Rich. Send an email to Jay Schumacher, and he is going to receive that at iwb@g4te.com. You can also send him a tweet at iwblock. And, yeah, you get on there. iTunes reviews, we need them. We want more. America, the United States, you need to pick up the slack.
America.
The UK, soundly thumping you with iTunes reviews. Damn. We need more on the U.S. side. If you listen to the show and you like the show or just remotely kind of think it's okay, give us a 5-star
yeah,
review.
Yeah, that'll do.
Same. Yeah.
Maybe even have your parents give us a review. You know, hey, tell them, hey, Mom, support my friends.
Watch yes. the podcast.
We are gaming for the elderly. We do we support the elderly. Just saying. Email the show. If you want to email us, you can send us an email. ocpodcast@gmail.com. I think I should stop talking. Chris, where do they tweet us at?
Tweet us to @OC_podcast on the Twitters.
Yes.
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 And don't forget, if you want to be part of the Overseas Connection news quiz and win some free Microsoft points, you simply need to tweet us @OC_podcast with something and the hashtag OC News Quiz.
If you want me to win, tweet your credit card number, expiration date, and CC code, and I'll
right
because sure
that worked out so well this week.
I'll do better. I'll do better in the future. I'm so ashamed.
All right, shout outs. Let's go. Pass it around. Rich, why don't you go first?
Amazing.
Sorry. I'm drifting. Yeah, I'm going to shout out a podcast again. Player One podcast. Anybody would listen to that?
No.
I'm adding them right now.
It's Mike who did the Lunchcast, Fanboys Lunchcast.
Okay.
Yeah. I just latched onto this by accident and didn't realise he was actually on it. But yeah, it's very good. It's good. It's think Giant Bomb without the waffle at the beginning.
Okay.
And they've got some good background noise as well. One of them's got a little kid that normally ends up making some noise.
So that's waffles.
Yeah.
I do like waffles.
Yeah.
Chicken and waffles are particularly delicious.
Never had.
Mm. How could you be in... How can you, never mind. We'll talk after. Let the British guys go to bed.
It's amazing how Chris says exactly what I'm thinking.
It's like I've got telepathy.
Oh, God, I can't even see anymore.
Rich, go. Keep going. Don't stop.
Step
Don't
J, Total 502.
Believe in. Oh, God.
Don't. Mike, get yours out.
All right, shout outs. Stu from the Veteran Gamers. Duke from the Veteran Gamers. Because you know why? The Veteran Gamers is another show that I do. Some people might listen to this and not know that. If you want a slightly more awake and alert version of Chinny, then go to that one because they record at a more sensible time. Also,
Not really.
Shinyverse, we'll shout out him because he joined us for the Fuse co-op stuff. And Greg, you know, you're going to be uploading the video, so shout out to the video that you're going to be uploading soon.
I'm sure the video will appreciate the shout out.
Yeah.
The video.
The video's like, thanks, Mark. That's how video talks. I'm tired.
Yes, you are.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Greg.
Hey, you know what? I think we skipped over a tweet, and I'm going to bring it up as part of my shout out because it was from Step J. At Step J 1971, remember last week when we were all at S73PJY9?
Rich already talked about this.
Did you already talk about that? And this is when I was falling asleep. Fuck.
You haven't got an excuse. It's
only 6:05 there. Jeez.
I'm hungry. That's my excuse.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one.
I want to shout out Teflon 12. Jason, well done. It was a great game. And I want to shout out my Sharks. Because they're playing tonight.
Yes.
Love hockey.
Go Sharks.
Go Sharks. Warriors, what the F did you do last night?
What are you thinking, Warriors?
Lost the game.
They didn't come out and play?
No, they were kicking ass.
I got
kicking
that
ass until the last 3 minutes. I got that too. Warriors.
Stop.
Tell you what, I'm not going to be coming out and playing in the Championship League. Wolverhampton Wanderers, they're fucked. Primrose.
Totally.
Primrose.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, yeah. Who hasn't done yet?
Forrest didn't make the playoffs either.
I'm up. I'm going to shout out to Stickman and Steve-O because they were in the G4TE shout box talking about some surveys that they fill out to get some free stuff. So good on you for getting free stuff. Stick it to the man. I'm going to shout out Paul Hurt because he's our Facebook fan of the week. So congratulations. And I'm going to shout out Simon D. Ivanov and the Iron Hammers Overclock podcast. I was listening to their show last night.
Simon on that, is he?
That's his show.
I thought it was Iron Hammers. I thought that was a different guy.
Bobby Gooding was doing...
runs Iron Hammers, but they have several shows.
Oh, I see.
The Iron Hammers Overclock podcast is Simon's show. And they talk all about hardware. Their focus is mainly on PC.
See, I love Simon. I think he's a funny guy, but I don't think I could...
Totally nice guy, but if you see his picture, he's menacing looking.
Ah, he's all right. He's
I think
fine.
He looks
no, Simon's there. Awesome.
Like, if I saw Simon, I would hug him.
That's okay. Simon, stay away.
But, like, I couldn't listen to that show. I'm sorry.
I enjoyed it, and I'm going to keep listening to it, but I am going to have to file a lawsuit against them for the amount of money they're going to cost me talking about all this great computer.
Class action, baby. Class action.
No, it's just me. Just me. I'm kidding, of course. It is a great show, though. Very, very good. They were talking about gaming peripherals on the latest episode, but they've also had some discussion of internal components and the rigs that they put up on their community rig website make me feel inadequate. So I might have to do some
kind of like when Greg goes to the urinal.
Greg feels inadequate. Yes.
What did you call it?
What?
<What's happening? laughs> Conservatory.
Speaking of peripherals, real fast, the Oculus Rift guillotine game demo. You've got to check it out.
Okay, I'll do that.
There's a YouTube video. Check it out.
Excellent. All right. Those are my shout-outs.
Cool.
Bye. See ya. Oh, God. Bye.
Go to bed, British people. Greg, how can you live in California and not have had chicken and waffles? There is something to be said for using strong adjectives rather than using the word very.
I hear you, Chris. I totally get it, but I'm not that smart.
For instance, have you ever read the book? Ooh, I almost committed a faux pas there. Anyway, have you ever read the book 1984 or seen the movie?
No.
Oh.
No.
Well, in 1984, they have this thing they call Newspeak, and the goal of Newspeak is to eliminate all unnecessary words. So, for instance, the word bad is replaced with ungood, and the word very is replaced with plus. So if something is very bad, it's double plus ungood. That's in Newspeak. And so it obviously just sounds absolutely ridiculous, but it does speak to the erosion of our skills in language as our society has progressed into lols and OMGs and the like.
Anyway, continue on, Rich.
Anyway, are we going to get started anytime soon, or have I got time to go pop some popcorn?
Go pop some popcorn, as long as you don't eat it during the news quiz.
Oh, was it that obvious last week?
It's always obvious.
Oh, well, I'll try to be louder.
Okay. Rich, move the mic slightly above your nose. Thank you.
We need to get Rich like a Delta Force earpiece.
You need to get me a Delta Force codpiece.
See, you sound beautiful there, Rich. I just want to point that out. Excellent. Here we go.
Yo.
You want some iTunes reviews?
This call is being recorded.
Got none.
Do we have any new?
I don't think so. I just like that.
All right, Rich, you do have a question to answer. This is to see if you can rack up another 100 bonus points for Ian W99. Are you ready? Rich.
Primrose, wake up.
We'll have to do some editing here because Rich just dropped off the call.
Sorry.
See if he comes back.
Sorry, Ian. No points for you.
This call is being recorded.
That was a brilliant moment.
You've got the power cable, and all of a sudden it will just be running off the battery, and the battery is a fucking brick. There's no power in it whatsoever. And even though it's plugged in, if it loses its connection, it just fucking dies and goes black. And that's what it did.
If you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGHub.net. And on there, you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts, similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Videos are for old people.
Some talk about RPGs.
Too many, people say.
Come on. Yeah.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
Then, of course, you have links to, you know, great forums.
You don't have any other friends.
So check it out, vghub.net. It is a great starting point for your podcast discovery.